Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo
bring. We be so fly, think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion unlocked, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body. Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. This is Captain Yahshua signing on with you, along with...
Captain Aparium, shalom.
Shalom, happy Sabbath. Officer Amariah.
Shalom, Soldier Ruvain.
Damn, that was a smooth southern drawl. Shalom,
Soldier Ruvain. Let me try again. Shalom, Officer Amariah.
Nah, man.
No?
Nah, nah, nah.
Okay.
That's natural ability that brother got. That's natural. You don't...
Thanks for coming in.
You know. was that movie with Eddie Malcolm? What's his name?
Eddie Murphy. Eddie Griffin.
And he teach the young little Edomite how to be hard body in prison.
Oh yeah, no, that's with Kevin Hart.
Nah, you're thinking about a different one.
There's a different one?
Yeah. It's that Edomite that he has like a condition. Like he look all weird and like skinny. And anyway, long story short, he the dude told him how to be like a real like hardcore.
Was that the one with T.I. in
it? I don't know if T.I. was in it. I can't remember. But anyway, I just thought of that because I was just you're like so not smooth. And he's just naturally smooth.
I mean, we're all. That's not what my wife said.
That is right.
Okay. Call in numbers 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Before we get in to the show, man, I was posting the links on the Facebook page. You know, I see a lot of activity. It's looking good. Definitely share our Facebook page. We're on Native American, Indigenous, Latin, Hispanic, Black Lost History is the title of the Facebook page. Got a good amount of likes, good amount of people following it. We definitely appreciate you sharing the links more. I'm looking at last week's, synopsis. And Captain A looks like he's a statue, bro. He looked like he was posing for a picture and not a video. Like, he's just like this. Like, I'm talking and you're like, even Gam, he's just like. After the toothpaste comment, though, I think that's why.
It's like that Talladega Nights movie with Will Ferrell. He's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, man. So I'm telling you, man, it's like something happens every week. Some of the brothers were doing some research, man, and I really wanted to go in on the Native American stuff today, man. He posted some information about the Olmecs and all that stuff. And, the title of the show is History. And like I said, sometimes that might seem because it's not like I'm always going into, what you would call ancient history and things like that. But we do. It's all relevant to our people who are the Israelites today, the so-called Native Latins and Blacks. All right. According to the Bible, you are the chosen of the Lord. And but something always happens, man. And I'm not talking about Hurricane Harvey.
Mm.
I'm talking about Joe Arpaio being above the law.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Got to touch on that.
Joe Arpaio above the law, white privilege and supremacy in the highest places. So President Trump, your President Trump, pardoned Joe Arpaio this week. And I'm looking at one of the CNN headlines and it says the three things Trump announced right before the hurricane so that you could be distracted by the hurricane and not really pay attention to it.
Right at 8 o'clock at night too.
I'm telling you, man, you're ignorant if you think racism is not alive and well in this country, man.
Right.
I mean, it's not in the form of the physical chains and, nothing in place for our people. The Lord has given us a little bit of ease and a little bit of peace with our enemies in this captivity, but not fully. I think oftentimes we forget how it's easy for us to forget in our comforts here that we do have, that we are still this day in our captivity. And I'm looking at all the stuff that's going on in the news and especially this that you read with Arpaio. And I go and I read on these comments, on these Facebook threads and things like that. And you see all the people going against it. And then you see just the ignorant people, because even if you wanted to take race out of this, let's say it wasn't the contempt of court because of the immigration stuff, but it was contempt of court. There would and should still be outrage over this, because one guy pointed out a good thing. He was like, listen, it's the president's power. If he wants to pardon people, everybody wants to point to all the people Obama pardoned. One guy made a real good point, but it kind of shut the secondary threads that were going on down. And he says, traditionally when someone's pardoned, they've served some of their sentence.
Mm.
I mean, that's the nature of a pardon, right? Like they've served some of their sentence and you're like, listen, they've done their thing. It's not just like, let me turn over a conviction. Right. Like this, like if you think about it, just law wise, like that's like a dangerous precedent that's being set right there. Like, and it's not like the guy was going to jail, Arpaio. It was 6 months for contempt of court. And he was going to be, like, on house arrest or something like that. Like
that's just to make a point. That's all that is.
You know? So, yeah. So, a judge ordered him. I mean, and we're going to read it. I got a few articles. We're going to read it. A judge ordered it. And, you know, a jury of his peers, he went through the process, convicted him. Convicted.
Of his peers.
All right? And you got to see what Trump. You got to see what Trump says. Did you have a scripture you wanted to bring up?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We brought it up before, but again, it's all relative. This is Zechariah 11 verse 5. It says, "Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not."
Yeah, that's heavy when you say that. I actually had that. I was going to do it after we read everything, but we read it again. The spirit, because I had that up too. I it's right here. I didn't type it. It was there. Okay, so that's the first thing I thought about, man, when I read that thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising to us. You know, that's part of what I wrote in our description here. I said, the Bible tells us this place is wicked and it's not our rest. We obey the laws as Israelites, but understand it's not a shock to us
when things like this
happen. The Bible tells of these times and this son of perdition that must be revealed in these last days. And that's really why this stuff is being brought to light. It's for those who are enlightened, those who are meant to wake up. They're going to go ahead and see this for what it is. And it's just more validation of the scriptures and the son of perdition being revealed.
Right. All it does is just increase our faith. And at the end of the day, that's all it does.
Right. So let me read this. This one's from CNN. Trump pardons former Sheriff Joe Arpaio. President Donald Trump pardoned Joe Arpaio on Friday, sparing the controversial former Arizona sheriff a jail sentence after he was convicted of criminal contempt related to his hardline tactics going after undocumented immigrants. And the issue here was, you have to understand, when this thing, and it'll be mentioned later in some of the articles too, was that the judge ordered him to stop detaining people just based on the status of their immigration, you know, status, basically. And he went against that. He basically went out and told all his officers, you know, I mean, and if you think about it, to some extent, maybe some of these officers should be held accountable too.
Right, of course.
Because at some point, you know, you got to stand for what was said. So, you know, they're probably going to hide under the guise that they were just following orders, but I'm sure there's complications with that as well. But they went after him because he was the one that said, the hell with what the judge said, and I'm going to do this anyway. And this went on for 6 more years because I think this was injunction was issued in 2011 at some time. So for 6 years, he continued with these tactics.
No, you understand. I personally, one time I was at home and I was getting ready to watch a show or something. And then I said, you know what? Let me run to Walmart real quick. It's literally right around the corner. Let me go run and grab something real quick. So I left my wallet because I just had cash in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
And on my way back, and again, it's like from here to like the store across the street, it's right around the block. I get pulled over by a sheriff's deputy that detained me for like 18 hours because I didn't have any documentation on me to prove that I was a citizen.
Damn. And little did you know at that time that a judge had issued him to stop this and
right.
that you were being detained illegally.
Right.
You might have a civil case there, brother.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
You should explore that. You should look into that, man. Get all of us some money.
We all got to eat.
Yeah, right?
Hebrew, we made it.
Yeah, there we go, right? But, I mean, people who are listening, they're not going to see you unless they see you on the show when we do the recap.
right.
This brother does not look in any way, shape, or form anything other than what you would consider white, okay? And they detained him.
Right. No, they did. And
did you have your beard?
No. I was in the world, and so yeah. I was clean shaved. I had my veteran plates. I still think I had my base sticker on my car at the time.
They thought you stole the car from a vet.
I guess so. You know, and I speak perfect clear English. It's not like
right.
I was like, okay.
Right.
So,
como?
So, and then it just so happened that I didn't have my phone, nothing on me, so I couldn't call anybody. So I had to literally just sit there and wait for them to be like, okay.
Dang. I'm going to finish reading this. Call in number again is 516-531-9797. So it says, the move drew outcry from civil rights groups, which accuse Arpaio of violating the Constitution in his crackdown on illegal immigration. During last year's presidential campaign, Arpaio was a vocal proponent of Trump's candidacy and used his national notoriety to advocate for Trump's similarly aggressive stance on border security and deportations. So, you know, clearly it's what they call cronyism going on here, you know, like, hey, all right, trust me, I got you. All right.
That's what Trump said, too. He's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's going to be all right. In a brief statement released late Friday evening, the White House praised Arpaio's career. Throughout his time as sheriff, Arpaio continued his life's work of protecting the public from the scourges of crime and illegal immigration. It's a scourge.
Mm.
And notice they put that all in one sentence in one word, like to let you know, like the crime here is because of illegal immigration.
Right.
This is what they're claiming. The statement said, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is now 85 years old, and after more than 50 years of admirable service to our nation, he is a worthy candidate for presidential pardon. So, I mean, bro, you got to think about how old this guy is. And for 50 years, he was doing like he's one of them good old boys that grew up, raised during the civil rights movement.
He was older than I am now during the civil rights. So he was already in it.
So he was one of those that, like, you know, he was against the civil rights being granted.
Right.
So you got to understand this person's mentality. Arpaio thanked Trump on Twitter. Thank you at Real Donald Trump for seeing my conviction for what it is, a political witch hunt by holdovers in the Obama Justice Department.
Political witch hunt, which he was tried in the same system that the Constitution provides everybody.
Yeah.
The same Constitution that, quote unquote, says that all men are created equal.
Dang. And again, tried and convicted by a jury of his peers. So I'd like to know what political holdovers were in that jury that were Obama people in that jury. So, you know, they're trying to make this a left-right thing or whatever it is. And in no moment does he say that his conviction for what it is. Dude, a judge said don't do this, and you did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that he felt he was above the law. You know, and it's not a left-right thing, okay, at the end of the day, because the left is just as worse as the right when it comes to keeping black Hispanics and Native Americans in captivity.
Right.
So it's not about that. It's a smack in the face to all so-called Latinos. That's what it is. It's a smack in the face to the Israelites. It just proves even more that the Bible is a true book.
Right. Right. But they'll try to portray it that way because, again, he's saying, oh, it's holdovers in the Obama Justice Department.
Yeah, that's politics. He's just politically trying to speak.
He continues, I am humbled and incredibly grateful to President Trump. I look forward to putting this chapter behind me and helping to MAGA. Hashtag MAGA. So when you got to look up that hashtag, that's like a new thing that I've been seeing people post. And I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, my God. Hold on. Make America great again. That's the hashtag.
Goodness.
I didn't know. I'm seeing that. And I said, okay, I got to look this up.
It should be my why.
It's the...
Make America white again.
Used by GOP candidate Donald J. Trump on social media and websites. So basically, that phrase means exactly that, right? Because they're talking about make it great again, and he's talking about the 1950s. Mm-hmm. What was going on in the 1950s? There were still Jim Crow laws. People were fighting for civil rights. White supremacy was casually more accepted because, you know, people come on this show and they might call and be like, well, look at how, you know, these guys are getting blasted and the media coverage is condemning these white supremacist groups. Come on, man. I said that's all just part of the tactics to make it look like you think that's going to do anything. You think that's going to stop anything?
That was like a code word to me. Every time that saying goes
that
out.
That is a code word because everybody's putting it on. Make America great again, which really means, like you said, MAGA. Make America white again. He said in a Fox News interview Friday that he would hold a news conference early next week to discuss the pardon. So he's going to do a conference. So you probably see all people protesting there, which, you know, protesting doesn't get you anywhere. So, I mean, that's one thing.
If it did, they wouldn't allow it to happen, even though it's your civil rights.
Right, right. Not to mention the protest that we had here this week because Trump had a rally here. Hey, I've never seen a president do that so much. Like, he's already elected, and he's doing... Like, that was the sole purpose of his visit. It wasn't to discuss anything, to sign anything into law. It was to come and keep his supporters rallied behind him.
Because he knew what he was going to do.
For, he knew he was going to part of him. Yeah. And I don't know, man. I've seen, like, some riots, and not that I condone anything like that, because, you know, our revolution isn't keeping these commandments. We've said that before on this show, not going out and demonstrating and stuff. But, I mean, I didn't see anything crazy going on that the cops needed to start popping tear gas. It looked like there was like 15 rioters. They said rioters in downtown. When you look at the coverage, it looked like there was like 10 people. Like, they were just like, they're probably all at Starbucks and were like, hey, let's go protest this. And the freaking cops are walking in with their shields. They're freaking throwing canisters and stuff or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, man. So Trump did not consult the Justice Department, is what they say here. The pardon is the first of Trump's presidency. Though he did not follow his predecessor's practice of consulting with lawyers at the Justice Department before announcing his decision. So he just basically say, yo, I got the power. I'm going to roll with this. This is the president's pardon, a source with knowledge of the decision said. So meaning there was no consultation. Usually they consult and they let you know, hey, should we do this? Should we not do that? Under the Constitution, Trump has permitted wide leeway in issuing pardons. There are no requirements for consultation within the administration before a decision is announced. The president exercises lawful authority and we respect his decision, said Ian Pryor, Justice Department spokesman. So I did mention that, you know, it is he was doing something that was within his power in the law as it was written by them, for them. Okay. was it FUBU, for his bias?
Right.
Yeah, so that should be their tag too, FUBU. Yeah.
Bit.
What's that one?
By them, for them, or Bitfit.
Or Fitbit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the workout thing.
By them, yeah, Fitbit. Yeah, I know. I had somebody call about that.
Might have some trademark issues with that.
You had to troubleshoot that? Yeah.
No, it should be what? Not FUBU, but FUBI, for us, by you, since we built America, but we didn't build it for ourselves. We built it for them.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of all right.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
That was better than Midpit.
Mamish.
All right, Jovan.
So Trump hinted at his decision early this week during a raucous campaign rally in Phoenix. So was Sheriff Joe was convicted for doing his job, Trump queried his supporters. So, okay, that sounded so weird. So, they didn't put any abbreviation. Was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job, Trump queried his supporters. I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine. Okay.
Damn.
He just told you. He gave the little wink, like, hey.
And that was before he pardoned him.
Yep, that was before he pardoned him. Trump tweeted Friday night about his decision. I am pleased to inform you that I have just granted a full pardon to 85-year-old American patriot Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He kept Arizona safe. And listen, man, I mean, we go over Romans 13. Maybe when you deal with general crimes and things like that, you know, that's fine. But that's not the issue here. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A judge said, don't do this. And he said, so it just invalidates his whole career. Like, in my opinion, like, when you look at that, it's so hypocritical, right?
Right.
As police person, right, that they're there to police the law, you know, right? And they're there to go ahead and tell you, you know, hey,
they're there to enforce the law and police crime.
Right. Police crime and enforce the law. He just basically said, okay, I'm going to choose not to enforce this law that a judge just brought down. So, again, it's just, I don't know, it's real hypocritical.
So let me tell you why it's hypocritical. Because supposedly Trump says that illegals are violating the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't this just man just violate the law that he just pardoned?
Exactly.
You talk about hypocritical,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's the whole thing behind illegal immigration, right? That they come in here, follow the law. This man didn't follow the law. In fact, he just went ahead and perpetrated what Trump's whole campaign was based on. Okay? Keeping people out from America. Primarily, and we know he's talking about the Latin Americans.
So Arpaio, who was sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona, until last year, was found guilty of criminal contempt last month for disregarding a court order in a racial profiling case. His sentencing had been scheduled for October 5th. Not only did Arpaio abdicate responsibility, he announced to the world and to his subordinates that he was going to continue business as usual no matter who said otherwise. U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton wrote in a July 31st order finding him guilty.
So he blatantly said he was going to commit crime.
Yes. However, civil rights groups and others pushed back against the possibility of Arpaio's pardon and slammed the decision on Friday. Once again, the president has acted in support of illegal, failed immigration enforcement practices that target people of color and have been struck down by the courts, the American Civil Liberties Union wrote in a statement. His pardon of Arpaio is a presidential endorsement of racism. Someone, the ACLU wrote here, no, President Trump, Arpaio was not just doing his job. He was violating the Constitution and discriminating against Latinos. Joe Arpaio illegally targeted and terrorized Latino families. Our community voted him out of power. Donald Trump can't change that, wrote Greg Stanton, the Democratic mayor of Phoenix, which sits in Maricopa County. Arizona Senator John McCain said in a statement on the pardon that no one is above the law, and the individuals entrusted with the privilege of being sworn law officers should always seek to be beyond reproach in their commitment to fairly enforcing the laws they swore to uphold. That's what the scripture calls being blameless. It's mm-hmm. the same thing like us who are in any type of position where we have to, you know, pass judgment and bring things to understanding. We need to be found blameless. They run around talking about their fundamentally Christians. Christ said take the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the mote out of someone else's. And that's basically what McCain is saying here in that way. Okay. Mr. Arpaio was found guilty of criminal contempt for continuing to illegally profile Latinos living in Arizona based on their perceived immigration status in violation of a judge's orders, McCain said. The president has the authority to make this pardon, but doing so at this time undermines his claim for the respect of rule of law, as Mr. Arpaio has shown no remorse for his actions. Contrary-wise, you saw what he just said. He says it's a holdovers from the Obama administration. It's a witch hunt. Arizona's other Republican Senator Jeff Flake wrote on Twitter that he would have preferred that the president honor the judicial process, and let it take its course. Trump has openly feuded with Flake over the past week. Former acting attorney general Sally Yates, whom Trump fired in January after she refused to defend his controversial Muslim travel ban, also slammed the pardon. With his pardon pen, POTUS reveals his own contempt for our Constitution, our courts, and our founding principles of equality and justice, Yates wrote on Twitter. I mean, it's all hypocritical stuff. They're speaking out against it, right?
Yeah, but that's the politics behind it.
That's the politics behind it, because the equality and justice doesn't apply to us, all right? And I'm going to show you that. Give me Lamentations 4:17. The equality and justice in this country doesn't apply to us. All right. And the scripture tells you that. So you so-called natives, Latins, blacks, I mean, deep down, y'all know this, but y'all got to come out of that deep stupor and stop trying to align yourself left, right. Your alignment needs to be with the Most High in Christ. All right. That's your alignment. Read.
This is the book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help.
Our eyes yet fail for our vain hope. Everybody was so happy amongst our Latino brothers and sisters, all right, our Northern Kingdom brothers and sisters, that our pay. Oh, yes, he got convicted. Okay, finally, some justice is going to be done. They voted him out. Now he was going to get convicted. And your eyes have failed because
he wasted no time pardoning him.
Nope, he did that joint quick. He said, I ain't even going to let you get sentenced.
Right.
He said, well, he had like another like 7 weeks before his sentencing. He said, nah, I'm coming in now. All right. read it from the top again.
As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help.
Our eyes have failed for our vain help. The equality and justice that they're speaking about, that doesn't apply to us. All right, go ahead.
In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
In our watching, we've watched for a nation that cannot save us. We are of this, we are in this world, but not of this world, like Christ said. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have to obey the powers that be. They're not a terror to good works. And you just have to understand and accept this is the way it is. And some people will call it and say, no, you know, you know, if people would have had that attitude, we would have never had civil rights and this, that, and the other. Listen, I'm not saying don't do anything. I'm saying repent and keep the commandments and the faith of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in that is there's power. In the Bible, and doing that is the revolution. And that's the power. Protest after protest does nothing. You see that it doesn't matter. Things can be overturned. You can protest and they can come out. Oh, for better or worse, you know, our system's not perfect, but you got to leave it up to the courts and be content with what they say. That's not justice.
For anyone that says that type of mindset is the reason why we wouldn't have had civil rights is ignorant anyways, because civil rights was to their benefit, not to ours. It was to integrate us and then give us the illusion of inclusion
right.
to further destroy it to the people.
Right.
You know what, though? when I see these atrocities going on in our neighborhoods, I rejoice over this thing, because the Bible says in Hosea 5:15, you know, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. So those of us that have a little bit of understanding, when these things happen, we get upset about them. It's going to wake those of us up that have yet to realize what is actually going on here. We keep having these incidents because the Most High is trying to wake you up out of your sleep to say, look, you need to get right, repent, come back to these laws, statutes, and commandments.
Right. Like the captain said, at the end of the day, when I say no, do nothing. Right, but you should do something. And give me Deuteronomy 28:1, and then I want 15. All right, because at the end of the day, the Most High put stipulations down when we took us out of slavery in Egypt.
Right. Okay. Call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797.
Okay, there was whatever action is an equal opposite reaction, right? Well, let's look at this here in the Bible.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
Okay, above all nations of the earth. So we're going through this because we refuse to repent and follow the laws, statutes, and commandments. Because guess what? If we would have done that and continue to do that, we would be the one with the power and in control. Okay?
That's right.
But here's the opposite.
Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
All right? And when you read further on, there's the curses. Okay? And if you notice, when you read Deuteronomy 20:1-14, it's only 14 verses. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard what the Most High God commanded us to do. Just obey him and follow his laws, statutes, and commandments. But now, the opposite was that we would be cursed. And those curses go from 16 all the way through 68.
That's right.
Okay, that's how angry the Most High said he would be with us if we did not follow his laws, statutes, and commandments. We would not be going through any of this, okay, if we would have just followed Deuteronomy 28:1. And in case you're mistaken on who he was talking about and talking to, give me Deuteronomy 1:1.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel.
No, all nations.
All Israel.
Okay, all Israel.
On this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel, Dizabah.
All right, so in case you have any doubt, he even said geographically who he's talking about. Okay, Most knows. Okay, this Bible covers everything. I'm not going to go ahead and try to confuse us with this Bible, you non-believers, you unrepented evil Israelites, and more importantly, you evil nations out there, okay, that the Bible calls you evil, that the Bible says the Most High has no regard for.
Oh, praises. So let me go back to reading this. I was playing with the volume settings here. I want to make sure I didn't have any issues like or a weekday show. So Arpaio, who has called himself America's toughest sheriff, was an early Trump supporter. Like Trump, he helped fuel unfounded allegations that President Barack Obama was not born in the United States. He used frequent appearances on television to establish a national platform for his views on immigration, which relied on tough enforcement measures and racial profiling. He became known for this for his treatment of those he held in an outdoor jail known as Tent City, mm-hmm. where he made people wear pink underwear and work in chain gangs. Trump's pardon of Arpaio is the earliest a president has pardoned someone in his first term since George H.W. Bush pardoned 9 individuals on August 14, 1989. Bill Clinton waited almost 2 years before issuing a pardon. George W. Bush and Barack Obama both waited about a year. So, you know, one thing that they failed to really mention accurately here is that the racial profiling was against Latinos, mm-hmm. because it's not like you have illegal Russians, illegal aid, because there are those here too.
Oh, absolutely.
But nobody's detaining them. Nobody's profiling them.
And they right. and they come here and they with mafias. They,
yes.
They're vicious,
yes.
man.
Yes.
Russian mob.
Human trafficking.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yep. But nobody's detaining them. So I got another quick article here. So it says former Trump ethics director calls Arpaio Pardon a harbinger of worse to come. Walter Schaub called the president's action vile and decried the former Arizona sheriff as a racist. President Donald Trump's former ethics chief, who resigned last month because of disagreements with the White House over ethics policies, blasted the president's decision on Friday to pardon Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Vile, began Walter Schaub, the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, on a Twitter thread. What POTUS says exemplifies selfless public service is dehumanizing inmates, racial profiling, and gleefully defying a court order. All right, so he's saying, he exemplified public service. Yeah, I forgot about the tent city part, too. Schaub tweeted that the pardon was a harbinger of worse to come. This pardon also departs from procedural norms. As an affirmative act by POTUS, it reveals an emboldening. An emboldening of what? This is why the title of the show, White Privilege and White Supremacy in the Highest Places. Mm-hmm. That's what it's an emboldening of. What you saw in Charlottesville a couple weeks ago was the direct reaction to what MAGA is.
That's right. Right.
All right?
Exactly.
Make America Great Again. And that's what they came out with. Trump's controversial move came late on a Friday night as the country was preparing for a deadly hurricane off the coast of Texas. Former Maricopa County Sheriff Arpaio, who once proclaimed himself America's toughest sheriff, was convicted last month of criminal contempt for violating a 2011 order that forbade the sheriff and his office from detaining individuals solely because of their legal status. But Schaub has hardly alone in his outrage, as other current and former public officials also condemned Trump's pardon. Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton released a statement saying that Arpaio's tactics terrorize Latino families because of their skin color. Terrorize. So I think that's a good word that
right.
They're not going to use.
Right.
They try to use racial profiling as and that's like a softer, nicer way to say, but it was terrorized.
Terrorism. Yep.
A number of members of Congress posted similar sentiments of disappointment on social media. So, Jeff Flake, we read about that. Okay. So that was the quick one that's going to lead me to the next one that I wanted to jump into. All right. I saved a bunch of these.
While you look at that, let me get Zeph and I to a one. Because at the end of the day, here's what you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans need to realize. And in this case, especially you so-called Latinos, all right, America doesn't love you. Okay. The only one that loves you is the Most High God. We just read in Deuteronomy 28:1 how we were going to be blessed, all right, because we're God's chosen when you read Deuteronomy 7:6. But here's what the world thinks of, what the nation thinks about us.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
We are a nation not desired. We are commanded in the book of Zephaniah to gather ourselves together. Gather ourselves together in protest? No. In breaking the law to go ahead and prove a point? No. In fact, it's the opposite. In keeping the law. But whose law? The Most High's law, statutes and commandments. And that's what the main focus at the end of the day, although we cover news topics because, again, that's all part of our lives, all right, here on this show. Our main goal on this show is to wake our people up. You blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, falsely so-called, to go ahead and wake up to the laws, statutes, and commandments, to your true nationality of who you are. You are Israelites, okay? You are Israelites from the 12 tribes of Israel, and you commanded to follow the laws, statutes, and commandments, and that's, at the end of the day, what we our main focus of this radio show is, to wake up those brothers and sisters that are lost right now, the lost sheep.
Hold on, I'm posting some more links here.
At this point, Donald Trump could just post our tweet, "I'm the devil the Bible speaks of," hashtag MAGA, and it would be super accurate. And that's he's basically saying that he's the devil the Bible speaks of in everything he does. Our people, just like Captain was saying, that we have no justice here whatsoever. We built America, but we didn't build it for ourselves. We built it for our enemies.
Not to mention, when you look at a map, there's a great movie show called Into the West that shows it.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico went damn near from the border of Canada
right.
all the way down from the Midwest to the West, all the way down to where it's at today. And if you look at that show, little by little, every chapter, they started showing how the Europeans came Okay, the Caucasians, and little by little just started taking over the land.
No, right.
Taking over the land. That's against the law.
These signs were posted up in different parts of Texas.
Right, and the signs that the brother's showing now in different parts of Texas. In fact, it says El Paso, Texas, 20 February 1929, no dogs, Negroes, or Mexicans. Okay? So you go ahead and you keep loving your friendly neighborhood Caucasian man who does not have any love for you. Oh, yeah, there's some that they'll marry you. There's some that they'll be friendly with you. But you know what? They're few and far, and at the end of the day, when you read Isaiah 13, and we read it before the show, when the black Messiah returns, everyone's going to go back to their own people. I guarantee you, if something were to go down, all right, they're going to put you out to fry. Okay? They ain't going to defend you.
And that's good, because that's a good segue to this next article that I found very interesting. White supremacists by default. How ordinary people made Charlottesville possible. Hmm. And how they make day-to-day possible. All right? So, thank President Trump for his tepid moral response. Call the neo-Nazis and white nationalist thugs. Fill your Facebook and Twitter accounts with moral outrage. But the tragedy that took place in Charlottesville this month could not have occurred without the tacit acceptance of millions of ordinary law-abiding Americans who helped create such a racially explosive climate, some activists, historians, and victims of extremism say. It's easy to focus on the angry white men in paramilitary gear who looked like they were mobilizing for a race war in the Virginia college town. But it's the ordinary people, the voters who elected a reality TV star with a record of making racially insensitive comments, the people who move out of the neighborhood when people of color move in, the family members who ignore relatives' anti-Semitism, who give these types of men room to operate, they say. That was the twisted formula that made the Holocaust and Rwanda possible and allowed Jim Crow segregation to survive. Nice people looked the other way while those with an appetite for violence did the dirty work, says Mark Nyson, a political activist and history professor at Fordham University in New York City. You have to have millions of people who are willing to be bystanders, who push aside evidence of racism, Islamophobia, or sexism. You can't have one without the other, Nason says. So all these people saying that, because there's something called the bystander effect that you got to look up.
Mm-hmm.
All these people with this moral outrage on Facebook, right? Because, oh, but I'm white and I'm not for what happened in Charlottesville.
Right.
This is telling you, okay, that bystander effect. You push aside the evidence of racism. Those are the people that say racism doesn't exist, that we need to get over it. Slavery was 400 years ago. Get over it. But never forget the Holocaust.
Right.
Never forget 9/11. Never forget any of that stuff.
Never forget Pearl Harbor.
Never forget Pearl Harbor. All right? But forget the atrocities, because it's a reflection of who we really are. All right? And it all goes to that revealing of that son of perdition that it talks about in Thessalonians, all right, which we're going to read later. We are a country with a few million passionate white supremacists and tens of millions of white supremacists by default, he says.
Hmm.
So this goes, get me the one where says his soul's not right in him.
Oh, that's Habakkuk.
All right. For those of you who are like, no, but you know, there's people who look, this is a white person saying this. This is a white person decrying this outrage and that outrage. Read that real quick.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
All right. His soul that's lifted up is not upright in him. It's telling you, okay, that those who profess that are out there doing this moral outrage, saying they're not those people in Charlottesville, what you saw there was, I'm not even going to say the full worst of them, because the real worst of them don't reveal themselves that way. So right. They ain't coming out that way so that they can continue to operate.
Those are the people in the basis of the caucus.
Right. You know, so they were the ones that basically had no tact.
Right. Exactly. There you go. That's the perfect way to frame it.
All right. Because the real ones are the ones you see in Get Out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that they keep it real on the low. They're very, you know, like the silent auction. Yep. He's doing the thing for the silent auction and all of that. They're the sophisticated ones.
Right.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for, not the one out there blatantly. Because you had the one guy that was talking all that crap on Vice, and then he's freaking crying on TV after the fact. All right.
Yeah.
Many people prefer to focus on the usual suspects after Charlottesville happens, the violent racial extremists who are so easy to condemn. Yet there are four types of ordinary people who also play a part in the country's racial divisions, Naysan and others say. Number one, the down-low segregationist.
Mm.
And I'll say this. I'm not a down-low segregationist. I'm a outward,
right,
on the high. What's the opposite of down low? Up high?
Right, I guess.
Up,
yeah, yeah.
I'm an up high segregationist.
Up high, down low.
All right?
Yeah, yeah, up high.
Okay. Listen, I'm all for that. I would love to live in a neighborhood. Now, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to put this out there. Not in a neighborhood of niggas and spigs.
Right.
But of my people who are righteous, keeping the laws, right? Because I couldn't wait to get out of the damn hood growing up, all right? Because it's the mentality, the Negro mentality that was reinforced, because I'm not going to say necessarily created by the other nations, but was reinforced and cultivated in us by the other nations through all the different captivities that we've been in.
Right.
Right? So that Hispanic Negro mentality that I got to get mines and it doesn't matter if I step on you, that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. That's hatred for your brothers and sisters, selling dope. All right, slinging crack, robbing and stealing from your own people.
Right.
Yeah, right. There's something seriously wrong with you if you roll that way. So I'm not saying I prefer to be around people like that. But listen, a Black Wall Street type of environment,
mm-hmm,
all right, things like that, man, I'd be all for that. I would be all for something like that.
What about in the Midwest?
Right. Go ahead.
And you know, in Oklahoma.
Right.
Right. Those brothers and sisters, it's an experience that you have to see for yourself. You know, you go from door to door, all you got to do is knock and say shalom and you in the house. You know, they leave their, well, I don't want to say it like that, but for the most part, they're a real tight-knit group. Everyone knows each other, everyone's brothers and sisters, and they work together collectively as one unit. It's a beautiful thing.
Right, right. And, you know, all praise to the Most High, they were able to carve out, they all kind of bought at the same time, but that's not real. They, you know, they wouldn't be able to do that any other way. They mm-hmm. they all timed it. They bought at the same time. The way things are now, all right, so first off, I'm going to read this because it makes sense what he's saying in general, but the reality is integration was one of the worst things that ever happened to our people.
Hands
all
down.
Right?
Hands down.
Our aspiration to be like the white man was our downfall.
Yep.
All right. And we did that, and I understand why as a people. We did that because we had no examples to look up to. They presented this Bible to us as a white man's book. They prevented us to read while we were in slavery all those years, so they used our own book against us. They created a white God and a white Messiah for us, and they said, hey, he's for you too,
mm-hmm,
okay? And I'm saying that for the people back then. People today should not be so simple and blind and ignorant of our people, all right? To still run around that way, shame on you, seeing what's going on in the world and what you see going on here. But I'm talking about, I understand why integration was pushed, first and foremost, because it was the Most High's agenda.
Right.
All right? He wouldn't have allowed that to happen if that wasn't what he wanted to continue on for a time. That's not how he wants it forever. But God is a segregationist. He was like that from the foundation. All right. He separated the nations. He named them. There was different parts of the garden. All right. This is for you, Adam and Eve. This is for the other people that I made. It was always about segregating. So I wasn't for segregation. I want to be very clear in the way that Esau wanted segregation, where there was limited rights and things like that. But with the same type of things available to you, segregation's a good thing. If you got people working together in a community, and again, you see that as Black Wall Street as the example, you see that, I'm going to take it back even further. You saw that with GAD and what they call the Olmecs and all of that. In the book by Robert Stannard, American Holocaust, he tells you that when he came here, the systems that were in place, the systems of government, of aqueducts. He said in Europe they were drinking filthy water, all right? And here they had fresh water coming in via aqueducts.
I'm sorry, where? Where were they drinking filthy water?
In Europe.
In Europe.
Which was supposedly the pinnacle. That's the old world, right?
Right.
They call. So when he came here, he saw these Gadite cities. They
called us savages, right?
And they called us savages.
Okay.
We became savages after they came and destroyed all that infrastructure and things that we had. And we were forced to go back into the wilderness. And the savage came from because of the emotions and anger that we had in us. We savagely freaking killed them when we did fight. When we were able to fight back,
right,
we savagely killed them. But when you read that book historically, we had all these. So I'm talking about segregation in that way. So before the white man came over here, we were a thriving society. And we probably, again, if things were right and we would have kept God's commandments, like you brought in Deuteronomy 28 and 1, a different history and turn of events may have happened than right. what you see now. But let me get back to this article. So it says the down low segregationists, talking about four types of people that basically allow these things to propagate in the world. Many of the white racists who marched in Charlottesville were condemned because they openly said they believe in integration and racial equality. That's that alt-right dude. I forgot his name. And I love that guy. The white guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know people put in a meme on Facebook talking about how Charles Barkley shut him down. I said, Charles Barkley didn't shut that dude down.
No.
I said, what the hell?
No, they were in amazement that guy spoke the truth.
Right. And the amazement wasn't that they didn't know that that's what he felt.
Right.
They know, all right, that's what the white man thinks about them. They were just shocked that this dude was saying it to the face. He was like, I don't know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sounds so faggy. Yo, he said, listen, I don't believe in racial equality. He goes, that's a lie. Deep down, I want the best for my people. And if you think anything else, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
You should want the best for your people and the interest of your. He goes, historically, that's how it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's always been. The Bible clearly.
And then I forgot who was the other brother. I'm not too familiar. Was he? Is he a sports figure too? That was with Charles Barkley and that Edomite.
I think so.
I don't know who he is. I'm not up on the sports like that anymore like I used to. So I guess he's a sports figure too. And he's talking about, well, that's what makes America great is that melting pot thing. No, that's what makes America terrible is that melting pot. That's what makes it the iron mixed with miry clay.
Right.
That's what makes it weak.
Exactly. And you have to understand history. And the Bible talks about it. Okay. The Caucasian is not going to give up their position without a fight. That's what that man is talking about.
And that's all he's saying. So what he's saying is what he's saying is on point.
No, they got.
And you know what? He even went so far. I think he's holding back a little bit. He says he has no disdain for blacks and Hispanics. We just read in the scripture that his spirit is not upright in him. So I know that's not true. And historically, Esau hates Jacob. So
how do you compete? How do you compete if you don't have some type of variance towards your opponent effective? You know what
I'm
saying?
Right. There's no competition. Right.
There's no competition in
right.
it. You know, they got their rulership back in 1453, which is what's called the Renaissance era.
Mm-hmm.
After being cavemen during the Byzantine Empire, and we were ruling, blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans.
Taught them how to use forks.
Right, exactly. And you think, and that's in the book of Job 30, for those who don't realize, don't believe it. And you think that they are going to give that up without a fight with you? Come on.
Right. So the guy's telling him in that interview, like, he goes, listen, I'm cool with you having equal rights, he tells Charles Barkley. He goes, I just don't want that around me. He goes, you should have that for you and your people, and I'll have that with me and my people over here. And he's like,
but that's what the Bible said.
He goes, a lot of you don't even know what you want. So he goes, what do you want? Charles Barkley goes, I want the same things you want. What he's saying in that statement is that he has no idea or no identity of what he wants for his people. I want whatever the white man tells me is the American dream, is the American way. The other brother, I think, started talking about the American dream. So everybody's looking at that saying, ha ha, he got this cracker. He did this, that, and the other.
How?
No, listen, that brother is real.
That's embarrassing.
As much as I can respect that Edomite, you know, and I do so, again, live peaceably with all men in general, my day-to-day interactions, I respect that man, bro, because he's keeping it 100, bro.
That's so embarrassing on Charles Barkley's part, man.
Yo, Charles Barkley was embarrassed to me in there. I don't know how anybody could portray that as that he freaking got the better of that
dude. He didn't get the better of anything.
No.
Neither one of them did. The other one started crying, right?
I like watching that guy speak, bro, because to me, wake the hell up, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
Because what I see when he talks is, who is it? Devil. I'm like, okay, I'll play this. That's what's up.
Right.
He ain't even not.
Right.
Right.
He's telling you. He's giving you the mind. He's just the vocal of them, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about here, the open ones. They openly said they don't believe in integration or racial equality. So everybody wants to run and condemn them. Guess what? Deep down, they all do.
Right.
When they move out, when you move in, they don't believe in integration or racial equality. All right. When they refuse to shop in a certain area because it's frequented by you, mm-hmm. they don't believe in integration and racial equality.
Cap, they were telling me down in Oklahoma, right? As the Israelites started moving in, Esau was like, oh, gotta go. Damn, they taking over every damn thing. So they were leaving the neighborhood,
because
selling their houses.
They understand Deuteronomy 32:8. Then that he separated, okay, mm-hmm. the nations based on Israel and gave everybody their portion. We were always supposed to be separate.
Right.
Right.
With us being the head nation.
Right. Right. So he says, but millions of ordinary white Americans have been sending that message to black and brown people for at least a half a century. And mind you, even that black and brown ain't correct. All right. First of all, those are just colors. We're one people. All right. That come in many shades.
Mm-hmm.
That black and brown is just another subtle way of creating division, of keeping the bands right. cast asunder. Because when I hear afflictions against black people, that's an affliction against me, despite what complexion and what I look like.
Right.
All right. When I hear afflictions against brown people, that's an affliction against me. All right. Because we suffer together. Judah and Israel serve together captivity. All right. So he says, but millions of ordinary white Americans have been sending that message to black and brown people for at least half a century. They send it with their actions. They don't want to live next to or send their children to school with black or brown people, historians say. Busing a nationwide campaign to end school segregation by shipping students of color to white schools. That's where school busing came into play. White people didn't have that before. Busing happened. Mm. When they were going to say, okay, we're going to bring these black kids to white schools because we couldn't stay amongst ourselves. We got to go. I'm telling you, that's when we got poisoned and toxic.
Because we let them educate us.
We lost our own values. It's not even just letting them educate us, but we let them, by sending our children to them, and it's unfortunate I have to do that to this day. I'll tell you, my wife, she cannot stand that we have to send our daughter to school. It's just unfortunate that we have to do it right now. And I'm telling you, if it be the Lord's will, our plan, whether we have our homeschooling initiative, all right, that's it's not an IUIC thing in the sense that it's not an Israel United in Christ as an entity doing the homeschooling. It's a separate thing. But it's by members, brothers and sisters, that are part of IUIC that are pushing this. All right, Jacob's Hope Academy, be on the lookout for it. Lord's will, we're starting it this year in New York. And we're going to roll that out. And it's going to be a homeschool cooperative. Okay. So it's not just going to be that the kids in the house, they're going to get that social interaction by going. That's why it's so important that we open up schools and, you know, get these things together. And they're going to be able to use these schools during the week. Because if you think about it, we're paying rent for our schools.
Oh,
and
right,
we're there like twice a week, maybe, right, mm-hmm. at most. So we're going to start using that. And we're going to have homeschool cooperatives. And our kids are going to go around people that are law abiding by the Bible. Okay. And they're going to learn the curriculum. Right. In that regard, there's a certain amount of science or whatever. But even in that, the homeschool curriculum we're picking is the Habakkuk curriculum. It's a Christian based curriculum. All right. And what I mean by that is that they don't overdo this whole evolution thing and all this other stuff with the science in that way. And it's accredited. So it's not like it's going to be something where they're shortchanged or anything like that. So all praise to the Most High. We have that coming down the pipe. But I can't stand that I got to send my daughter to school like that in the influence. She comes home the other day talking about, there's this kid that says he's in love with me. She's five and in kindergarten. My wife went in on him. She was like, what does that mean? Do you even know what that? He says I'm his girlfriend. She goes, no, you tell him that I don't even know you. And I'm not your girlfriend. She goes, do you know what a girlfriend is? My daughter goes, no, I don't know what a girlfriend is. She goes, okay. She goes, there's classmates. That's it. My wife is very particular in the words. They're not your friends. They're classmates.
Mm-hmm.
They're classmates. She was like, you guys are 5 years old. There's no such thing as boyfriend and girlfriends. She
That's
was
crazy.
Like, you tell him that. Hey, and my daughter's gangster. She'll do that. She'll go in there and, like, the next day, and he'll try to pull that, and she'll be like, nope, you're my classmate. There's no
Straight
such
up
thing
to
as
his
boyfriend. Yeah, you know? So,
she's rolling.
Busing, all right, was started because of that. By shipping students of colors to white schools. Collapsed in large part because of fierce opposition by white parents. White flight is what they call it. White families fleeing city neighborhoods after people of color moved in. Helped create the modern suburbs.
Mm.
All right. This isn't the Jim Crow segregation that one reads about in the history books. It's the covert or down-low segregationist movement that has shaped much of contemporary America since overt racism became taboo in the 1960s, says David Billings. All right. So overt racism after the civil rights movement became taboo. So what did people do? They didn't just stop becoming racist. They just started to hide it. Again, right. Get Out. Okay? The movie Get Out. Says David Billings, who wrote about growing up white in the segregated South in his memoir, Deep Denial, The Persistence of White Supremacy in United States History and Life. Across the country, white people withdrew from the public sphere and migrated to whites-only suburbs to evade racial integration. Billings wrote, the word public preceded words like housing. Look at the craftiness. Public preceding words like housing. Hospital and healthcare, public housing, public hospital, public healthcare, public transportation, public defender, public schools, and even public swimming pool.
Mm.
Wait for it. In some parts of the country became code words that meant poor and most often black and Latino. The words private began to mean better. And tell me that's not the association with that word. Word association is a huge, huge thing.
Right. Power in words,
right?
Man.
Power word words. Association is a huge thing. Private means better. Tell me no. Tell me no in any type of marketing, my marketing brother, that private or exclusive. Right?
Exclusive,
that's another code word. Okay.
Well, let's prove it. Why do our people want try to go to private schools?
Yes.
Versus public.
Right.
Because deep down inside, we know that they're going to get a better education.
Private health club. All right.
VIP access.
VIP access. Different
private,
things like that.
Private healthcare.
It's all code words. This white separatism continues today. Whites move out so often when non-whites move in that sociologists have a name for the phenomenon. This has become a sociologist phenomenon. It's called racial tipping.
Mm.
Racial
it's tipping the scales. Racial tipping. This separation also, and you know what? Damn, we might not have time today. I have a whole little thing about tipping and the dynamics of segregation in neighborhoods and schools. It's a whole study on it. Maybe I'll read the abstract, all right? We got about 28 minutes, so we can still get some stuff in, all right? This separation also occurs in the private lives of many white Americans, according to one pollster. In 2013, Robert Jones, CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, made a splash after conducting a survey where he found that 75% of whites in the United States, 75%, three-fourths, three-quarters, the vast majority, okay, of whites in the United States didn't have a single person of color in their social circle. They only had white friends.
What year was that?
2013.
No, that's not 1929, Jim Crow. Time,
these
right?
outlying, you're mistaking, you blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, that the one white friend, you
right.
take that one white person and you make the mistake of thinking all of them are like that one.
The token.
You take B Rabbit from the trailer park.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and think that
right.
they're all down like that.
Right. Hey, listen, they are poor white people. They are not all rich. They are not all living in all that stuff. Those are casualties of war.
Exactly.
All
two
right.
time, two time losers.
Those are casualties of war.
Let me tell you something. Those are the rejects. Because I had someone that I knew when I was living somewhere else. He was a grown man, had a trust fund. And he was still bartending. And I asked him one day, why are you bartending? Because he was like 55, almost 60 years old, bartending. And I think like a BT Awards, everything, bartending, right? He says, because I have a drug problem, and my parents refused to get rid of the trust fund to me to give me to let me have access to it because they know I'm going to blow it on drugs.
Damn.
Mm.
So they are not going to lose their inheritance, owe money that they built off of our brothers and sisters' backs in slavery
right.
because he wants to be a two-time loser.
Damn.
So that's how they look at it.
At 55.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
55, still bartending.
Right. So they only had white friends. So you got to understand something. Like, here's the next part, and I'm going to tell you my experience in this. Jones pulled a complex subject. Many people of color self-segregate as well. That's a good thing. I mm-hmm. think that's a great thing.
Yes.
We should self-segregate sure. as much as possible. And some American neighborhoods are so segregated that residents never come in contact with people of other racial or ethnic groups.
Howard Beach.
Not just that. I'm going to take it to the next level. Middle America, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. When I was in basic training in the military, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The only Hispanic race that they knew was Mexican.
Yep.
So when I'm telling them I'm Puerto Rican, because back then I thought I was Puerto Rican, okay? Not an Ephraimite, all right?
It happens.
Okay. Not an Israelite from the tribe of Ephraim. They were like, nah, you're Mexican. I don't know what the hell a Puerto Rican is. Mm-hmm. I had people in my basic training that had never seen a black person before. They were in awe of black and Spanish people. They had never seen them. These are white people. They had never seen them. They had never seen them. So and yes, this was like the early 2000s. So I'm not talking about, it wasn't like I was like, right. You know, 50s. I'm not that old. It wasn't like the 50s. Okay. I was in basic like in 2001, I think, or something. So, yet some white Americans are driven by the same impulses that drove some of the white racists in Charlottesville, racial separation. Listen, man, just like Dr. King, the conversation that he had with Harry Belafonte years later, and he said, I feel I've integrated my people into a burning house. And, you know, the integration wasn't the way. It wasn't the way. It was the Lord's plan, but that's not the way of our people now.
Malcolm X understood that.
Right, he did understand that. White people in the past century and a half have made a conscious effort to resegregate themselves, says Edward Ball, author of Slaves and the Family, a memoir about coming to terms with learning his family-owned slaves. We have to work hard to make our social lives reflect our values, because white people do not choose the company of people of color generally. So they don't choose that. But our people do. We try to move to white neighborhoods and things like that. Now, listen, sometimes you can't go. That's what I'm saying. You can't find a neighborhood with our people that's not some trouble where they're going to burglarize your house and stuff right. like that. OK, what we have going on in the Midwest. All right. I don't want to reveal, where and stuff like that to, you know, just. So you got some crazy people out there. That's an anomaly in these days and times. It's not until the kingdom comes that we're going to be able to truly have that at that level. So I've resigned myself that if I want to live in a decent neighborhood, all right, I'm not going to move to Scottsdale. Like, hell no. I mean, even if I could afford it, I'm not going to move to Scottsdale. Okay. I don't know, but it's just something I feel like I'm not myself when I'm around.
I think you would if you could.
Bro. Nah, I wouldn't. But go. Can I tell you? I've been to Scottsdale once since I moved here.
Hey, all praises.
Once, and it was to go pick up some hangers secondhand that my wife found, like on OfferUp.
Oh, okay.
But I don't go to Scottsdale. I don't go to not because I hate it. It's just I have no desire to go there. Don't get me wrong. They got some good eats. they got some good restaurants. Yeah. But I don't go to Scottsdale.
Can I bring out a script?
Go ahead.
Since we're talking about segregation and the people that are openly for it are openly racist and whatnot. So let's get segregation in the Bible and let's see what we as Black, Hispanics, and Native Americans should be openly for. Give me a 2 Ezra 2 and start at verse 35.
Actually, before you read it, let me just finish this last line, because the next part, we'll end the segregation part on this with that scripture.
Okay.
And then it says, so he says, the angry white men in Charlottesville were just being open about their white supremacy. Ball once wrote that unconsciously or inadvertently, all of us white folks participate in forms of supremacist thought and activity. So even unconsciously. So, of course, they're going to tell you, no, I'm not like that. Just right. like an alcoholic will tell you he doesn't have an alcohol problem. Okay. Right. The angry white men in Charlottesville were just being open about their white supremacy. Ball says he wasn't surprised by their boldness. Their climate is now better for them because of who's in office. Right. But so go ahead with that script, because then we're going to read the next time.
I'm actually glad that you did finish that, because you used the word openly. All right. So start verse 35.
This is the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 35. Be ready to the reward of the kingdom.
So that's what we're telling you, so-called natives, Latinos and blacks, be ready for the reward of the kingdom. Reward is something you get for the work you put into it. It's not going to be easy taking this walk and these commandments with Christ, but it's going to be worth it, because the end result is the everlasting kingdom here on earth. Read on.
Be ready to the reward of the kingdom, for the everlasting light shall shine upon you forevermore.
Read on.
Flee the shadow of this world.
So that's where the segregation comes. The Most High has given us a commandment. He says to flee the shadow of this world. Separate from all the things that cause you to do evil and come back and serve him in righteousness. Read on.
I testify. Wait, receive the joyfulness of your glory.
Which is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Read.
I testify my Savior openly.
That's what we testify openly. That's what we openly say, is that we understand that that Jesus the Christ is a man of color from the tribe of Judah, of the nation of Israel, that died only for his people. So we're okay with them being openly racist against us, because God tells us to be openly racist against them. And we understand that the true revolution is repenting and keeping these laws.
Gab, I just want to say one thing before we move on. So they don't like us to be integrated with them, right? It's like we're the ones seeking after this integration. But from the example of Black Wall Street, they made us
they made us go on our own, right? They said, y'all Negroes, y'all go over there and y'all fend for yourselves. Well, we did fend for ourselves. We had a thriving community.
Right.
It was thriving so much that international countries wanted to do business directly with those brothers and sisters in Oklahoma. But guess what? Your friendly neighborhood white man got so jealous of our success that he literally bombed the place to the ground. So, I mean, what is it? You want us to be separate, or you want us to be integrated?
No, they want us to be separate and fulfill the stereotype that we're inferior.
Right.
They can't stand to see that we're able to rise above that without them. It's that God complex that they have. Like the scripture tells you, they see them, they sit as if they are God. All right.
Mm-hmm. They go ahead and they'll watch our brothers play sports and sisters too and dominate like we do. And they'll applaud because it's filling their pockets. But at the end of the day, they hate that thing, man. Mm-hmm. They can't stand how inferior they are to us.
Get out. That's why they would go inside these dudes because, oh, you're so young and strapping. Well, what, remember the part where he was like, you know, if you ever got real serious, you have natural ability. You could be a great MMA fighter.
Right.
And blah, blah. Because he's like, he knows he don't have the physical ability.
He said, with your DNA, you would be a beast.
You would be a beast, right? So the second type of people, those who say yes, but President Trump's critics blasted him for not coming out strong enough against the white racists who marched in Charlottesville. Trump initially denounced the egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. It was the many sides qualifier that infuriated some people. They wanted an unequivocal denunciation of racism from a leader. But he wasn't wrong. There was stuff on many sides. He was right. Trump's many sides response, though, wasn't that abnormal in the context of U.S. history. It used to be the norm for white political leaders to draw a moral equivalence between races and those who suffered from their acts of brutality, historians say. It's the yes, but rhetorical maneuver. Condemn racism, but add a qualifier to diminish the sincerity of what you just said.
Hmm.
And even amongst the nice white people, and I say that with air quotations, that I've known right. and had discussions with, there's always a yes, but.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, this guy articulated and put into words sometimes like things that we might forget that we experience day to day. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. ran into this yes but response so much that he wrote about it in his letter from Birmingham jail. He wrote, "I have almost reached a regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in this stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek." That's what you were just saying. "But I cannot agree with your methods or direct action."
Mm.
That sounds how everybody's proposed against us and IUIC and this defamation by the SPLC. Okay. Because that's like going up to a random guy on the street. Because they are not a federal organization. They are not a sanctioned thing. It's basically a bunch of people in a private mm-hmm. nonprofit that get together and comb the internet and created their own standards and definitions of what they deem a hate group. And people are using that as the authority.
Right.
So that's like if I go up outside and I say, hey, I grab some random guy off the street. I tell him a little bit about you, Amariah. And based on a few words, he makes a determination about you, whether good or bad.
Right.
Does his opinion count for anything?
No.
No, he doesn't know you. So it's the same thing with the SPLC, right? President Dwight Eisenhower took the yes, but approach when he complained he couldn't move too fast to comply with the Supreme Court's decision to integrate schools because people had to respect the Southern way of life, says Carol Anderson, author of White Rage and a professor of African-American studies at Emory University in Atlanta. A recent Washington Post article gave other examples when Southern governors like Orville Faubus, and what a name, of Arkansas and Earl Long of Louisiana were pressured in the 1950s to end segregation. They called both the NAACP and the White Citizens Councils a rabid segregationist group, extremists. You get that equivocation, says Anderson, that trying to make a system that absolutely strips people of their humanity on par with people demanding their humanity. That yes, but approach is often used today to discredit the grievances of the Black Lives Matter movement. So when they say all lives matter, that's a yes, but. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, listen, we know the Black Lives Matter is a George Soros agenda. All right. That that understanding is fully out there. But it's just a concept and the thought. Somebody put it perfect. The analogy was, I'm trying to bring awareness to breast cancer. And you say, yeah, but all cancer matters.
Right. No, actually, I heard someone say that's like a fire truck being called to a neighborhood that the house is on fire, and then they say, no, I can't put that out because all houses matter.
Yeah, right. So it makes no sense. That's a yes, but. So
this is a good article.
Whenever an unarmed black or brown person I might not get to all the thoughts that I wanted to get to today. I don't even think I'm going to be able to finish it because we got like 14 minutes left. So we might start off next week's show with it because I have other stuff that I've been meaning to go over. There's actually a 3-series article that talks about how police are taught to police black neighborhoods and it's different and everything. So we got to bring all this to light. And I'm going to go to my scripture in Thessalonians for that reason. We got to bring all this to light. If you want to have it ready, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. So it says when a police officer shoots whenever an unarmed black or brown person is shot by police, some deflect the issue by saying, yes, but all lives matter. When a police officer shoots an unarmed black person, even then it's controversial to say racism is a factor, says Eric Love, a sociologist at Dixon College in Pennsylvania. We say, why don't we talk about these other issues? What about the crime rate? Well, police officers need to protect themselves. And suddenly we're not talking about race anymore. They offer different. They're more reserved and they give a little more leeway when it's someone of their own kind versus someone that's black or brown, like they're putting it. All right. I'll speak in colloquialisms and use their terms. That's what comes up. Well, why don't we talk about other issues? And we've spoken about that. You're right. We're outraged over cops killing us, but we do kill each other in far greater numbers.
Right.
All right. Sure. But that's not the issue. The issue is the revelation of who the son of perdition is, and it goes to show you. Come on, man. Look at Eric Garner in New York. They knew this guy. It wasn't like he was some stranger. You know what I'm saying? That's like when we grew up and we knew what was the name of the cop that we grew up?
Redmond.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we used to do bad shit and run away from him. Redmond's coming. And we would try to – and he'd be pissed because he had to run a little. He didn't like chasing us. All right? But we had a cop in the projects, right? But everybody knew him. All right, he was like the neighborhood police or whatever, and he got to know us and everything like that. But the point is, there's something when they see one of our people that makes them more prevalent to take aggressive action.
Right.
All right. And it's created by what we've read so far. And there's two more that I'm not going to read today because I don't really want to rush through it. I want us to be able to discuss it at length. And you know, as more scriptures come to mind, we bring that out and we talk about it. But it's just this mindset, like the guy talking in Get Out. And he was like, what with your DNA?
Mm-hmm.
So they ascribed, and he ain't wrong, because that's royal DNA, okay? I mean, there ain't nothing that we don't really get involved in that we don't dominate.
Right.
Okay? I mean, that's why do you think we're so dominant in all the sports that we partake in?
Hey, who created basketball originally?
Right.
Who dominates basketball?
Right.
We can close the show out
right now. Right. Well, football. Baseball.
Hey, and as soon as they learn how to heat up that swimming pool, we gonna kill it in swimming as well too.
Hey, I tell you what, man, when I was in the Marine Corps, man, it was a Benjamite, man. That his butterfly stroke was beast.
Bro, and I'm gonna tell you something. You don't see enough Latinos in a lot of these sports because it doesn't behoove them. A lot of them, baseball's their ticket out, right? Baseball's their ticket out. But
boxing,
basketball,
boxing.
I'm telling you, we would be good, just as good, because we the same bloodline at basketball and in football. And I'll tell you what,
well, Carmelo Anthony.
If it wasn't so cold ice skating, we would kill it in hockey too.
Right. No, right, for sure.
Bro, we would be doing some ill stuff in hockey.
Y'all
bro.
Just not that tall. I think that's what it is.
Most of us.
No, you might be surprised, man.
If there are some tall ones, though. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But
what's his name? Like he just said, Carmelo Anthony. Ephraim.
Carmelo Anthony's Ephraim.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know.
Carmelo Anthony's Ephraim, bro.
That's an Ephraimite to the third
yeah,
power,
bro.
Oh,
there you
Carmelo's
go.
Ephraim, bro. But yeah, man. Like, if we, but I'm telling you, we would be doing like some Matrix stuff in hockey. Like, if we were playing hockey, bro, that thing would be crazy, bro. It won't be no 3-1, 2-1. It'd be like 30, points,
even
30 goals.
When you use sticks, you just shoot the soccer, you just kick it with the side of your blade.
Kick it with your blade, it would be like another level. But and it's not just that, because it's not just physical attributes, all right? I mean, you look at the list of inventors and things that we've invented and
that
was taken away from us.
The filament in the light bulb.
Right. All these different things.
The pacemaker.
The pacemaker, yeah.
Yes. All
car,
these different
traffic
things.
Light.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we could go on and on. I got the list right here.
Of course you do.
I got the list. We go on and on. It's amazing. Things that we could not live without today were invented by so-called blacks.
Yep.
So let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. And I actually want to start at 1 because this is why this stuff is so important. All right. We bring this to light because it needs to be discussed. It's taboo to discuss this stuff. Why aren't we talking about unity? Why aren't we talking about this? Because unity is what destroyed us.
That's right.
Wanting to be like the other nations from the principle, from the foundation of the earth, is what destroyed us. That's when right. Eve was deceived and was told to partake in that forbidden fruit, which wasn't really fruit, okay, but was in other doctrines, it was in our aspiration to want to be like the other nations. That was the beginning of our downfall, and it's what we need to come back and remember our rich, deep history, all right, and that God chose and ordained us to be the end-all, be-all of this earth. We are the beginning of the what you have been seeing is the dying of this earth and this kingdom. And the rebirth of the people that were meant to be. The whole earth is going to be eaten.
That's why the Most High destroyed the earth with a flood. Because we, okay, the chosen, who were called the sons of God in Genesis, went down and laid down with the sons of man. And
right.
He couldn't
all
take
that
it. All that evil.
All that intermingling mixed us. So get 2 Thessalonians 2 and start at verse 1.
This is the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not so soon taken in mind.
That ye be not so soon shaken.
Shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
So a lot of people see this stuff that's going on in Charlottesville with Trump in office and all of that. And the Lord's telling you, all right, this is why I say it was a beautiful thing that Trump got elected after
right.
Obama. Okay. It was probably one of the greatest things that could have happened for our people, because so many of our people went to sleep when Obama got elected. Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody had this, they were living in like this Woodstock euphoria of inclusivity. All right. Because what the LGBT agenda was passed under him. Made law, all this stuff like that. It's not even acceptance, but when it comes to that, and that's a whole other thing. The Sodom agenda is real. It's
right.
beyond acceptance. It's pushing it on to our people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's they want you to embrace it, not just acceptance. It's not just tolerance, right? Which is what they preach. Oh, tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
No. They want you to, oh, we got to teach it in schools. We got to do this, that, and the other. They got to put it in your face and like, bro, even like. Even in like superhero shows and stuff, like people got to be freaking. I was watching there's a show called Legends of Tomorrow, right? So it's like a DC thing. So I was watching it, and this one dude's talking about he's an old guy, one of the oldest superheroes, whatever, blah blah blah, not a famous one. Why don't you come with us to help fight crime in time? No, I found someone, and he's waiting for me at home.
Mm-hmm.
In subtlety. Not subtlety, all right? Any brothers listening, it's subtlety, okay?
Right.
I hate when people pronounce that thing wrong.
Subtlety.
Subtlety. In subtlety, they drop that in there. And again, it's all part of the conditioning process to make that normal.
Right.
That's not tolerance then. That's saying let's make it normal. But anyway, even tolerance is a sin according to Romans 1, okay? Those that take pleasure therein. So it says don't be shaken by all these things, brothers and sisters, that what you see going on in the world and in the news, okay? Go ahead, read on.
Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means.
Don't let any of this stuff deceive you. This thing of left, right. We got to be on this side. We got to be on that side. Who benefits us? No. All right. By any means. Go ahead.
For that day shall not come.
All right. That day of Christ that we're waiting for at hand. Okay. It says that day shall not come. Go ahead.
Except there come a falling away first.
There has to be a falling away first. There has to be a time of trouble. There has to be these things of turmoil that are going to happen. Go ahead.
And that man of sin be revealed.
And the man of sin has to be revealed before Christ returns. Go ahead.
The son of perdition.
The son of perdition has to be revealed. Read on.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God.
That's the so-called white man that you're reading about in your media, right? And that goes to all of them. We just read how the ones that you saw in Charlottesville are the outspoken of them. The ones who are outcrying morally, they are those yes buts and down low segregationists. Okay, yes, I want equal rights. Yes, I don't preach racism, but in your actions and in other things, that's what you do. You won't openly choose to come to our neighborhoods and be around us.
Right.
All right? Go ahead, read on.
Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
And he did that with the image of Christ, the false image that you see today, which is really Caesar Borgia, all right? The Pope of the son of Pope Alexander, okay? The Borgias, the original crime family.
That's right.
Right? That's the original. They got that show on TV about them, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that lewdness and lasciviousness that they are part of, okay? Go ahead, read on.
Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time.
He says, and now you know what withholdeth the day of Christ returning, is that he might be revealed in his time, in the time that the Lord ordained for this man to be revealed. These things are coming up and being brought to light so that he can be revealed, so that our people can start to wake up, because the revolution is in repentance. Read on.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
It's already in that, and he's telling you right there who the mystery of iniquity is and what that is. It's already working in the world today. Go ahead.
Only he who knows letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
Because the time of the Gentiles must be fulfilled, until the time of the Gentiles ends, till he be taken out of the way. Okay, read on.
Verse 8, and then shall that wicked, and that's capitalized, wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
The spirit of his mouth is this Bible, according to John 6 and 63. That's the spirit of his mouth. The Lord is going to consume those lies, this propaganda that you see on the news, everything, this left, right, these things of alignment, what they're trying to do and make happen here, okay? The Lord says that the Bible is going to consume him. That is where your power is, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Read on.
And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs of lying wonders.
And that's, again, that's what you see with the atomic bomb and the miracles that they put out, right? Miracles, which are not spiritual, but are witchcraft. Go ahead.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Because there's some of you who come against us, who say that we're racist, we're this, we're that, of our own people, and the Bible's telling you, okay, that those people, they're going to perish if you don't wake up and that son of perdition is revealed. All right. So we got about 2 minutes left on the show. We got a late caller, but with 2 minutes, I'm not going to be able to deal with him. So I'm sorry, caller. I would ask you to call back in next week. All right. Because literally it'll cut me off and I won't be able to take your comment or question. All right. So I got a minute and 45 seconds here. Make sure you call in next week for your comments, all right? You can call him right away. We start around 10 a.m., and we'll deal with your call. Yeah, so 90 seconds. We got the two-minute warning, okay?
Right.
Bro, I'm telling you, it always feels like we could do this thing for like 4 hours, but we could do like a drive home show like they do for the sports shows.
Easily.
Right. And just like go ahead and go at this for like 4 hours, I think, easily, and just discuss all manner of things. Any final thoughts? Anybody? We got a minute left. No.
No. The scripture says Christ says to watch as well as pray. So even though this is a lost history show, we have to make sure that the Bible is still relevant today and bring up these current events. And I'm excited for next week to read the rest of the article, because that was some really, really good stuff.
Well, I've been storing some articles, man. It's just like stuff's been popping off in the world.
Right.
So, like, I've been putting it aside.
And it has to be addressed. Exactly.
And it has to be addressed. So, but Lord's will, we'll finish it next week. I have some other articles that we could lead into and go over some more stuff. You know, you're on the Native Latin Black Laws History Show. Okay, we're on 3 times a week now. Mondays we do the Spanish show. Wednesdays we do another midweek show. And then, of course, we have our Sabbath day show. Make sure that you tune in, share, like the pages, okay? and help spread this word. All right. Listen in, spread it. This show will upload as a podcast so you can hear it in its entirety later. All right. So we say shalom and we're signing off. All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.